Chapter 5. Harry nurses his tea, allowing its warmth to spread over his fingers and palms while the steam clouds his glasses. It's a blazing hot day outside, but someone, he suspects Neville, cast a well-meaning cooling spell on the whole office, so now it's positively frigid. Warming charms only work for a few moments before fading. It would be today, of course. The day after he's had about 4 hours of sleep and rushed out without breakfast. He never does that. So now he's cold and tired and hungry and staring at a fireplace with no fire. At least Hermione and Ron have had the good sense not to ask him about his date. Maybe Ginny tipped them off. It was certainly the best and worst date he's ever had, followed by the strangest morning he's ever had. Running into Malfoy chatting with his ex-girlfriend and seeing the breathtaking art made by the man who ditched him. And then the weirdest dreams he's ever had. Somehow his subconscious managed to amalgamate Mr. Snark, Ad-Rock, and Malfoy into one stunningly gorgeous man who happened to be painting a portrait of Harry while both kissing him and insulting him. He'd say it's better than the usual nightmares, but the jury's still out on that one. At least the nightmares don't leave him painfully aroused and wondering when Malfoy had started wearing his hair like that. When did he start wearing his hair like that? The way it grazed his neck at the back. Fuck. He really needs more sleep. A flicker catches his eye through the clouded lenses and he leans forward eagerly for the promised heat. For the distraction of something, and maybe for just the tiniest shred of hope. The fire bursts to life, and the voice that comes through draws a small, stupid smile from him.
Hello?
Fire call crisis center, he practically booms. I'm listening.
Splendid, because I'm talking.
Mr. Snark is in fine form. Have you managed to stay alive since we last spoke? Harry says, foregoing any of the check-in formalities and unable to tear his eyes away from the silhouette in front of him.
Barely. You're that sure it's me then?
The voice says with something like amusement. What can I say? You've got a presence, Harry blurts, thinking he should care more about how that sounds, but finding he can't.
Well, Mr. Snark begins slowly. Things were going well for a while. And now they're not.
I'm afraid that's far too personal and specific, Harry says dryly.
Would you shut it, you incompetent twat? I'm getting to it.
Ah, so lovely to be appreciated. Harry stretches out a bit, forgetting he ever felt cold. My apologies, he adds sincerely. At least, he hopes it sounds sincere, for how much he's enjoying this.
As I was saying, the voice says coolly, things were going well, but I think they were only going well because I was hiding.
This piques Harry's interest.
Hiding?
From what?
From whom, you mean?
Harry rolls his eyes. Fine. Whom?
Everyone, including myself, as it happens.
Oh dear, vulnerability again. Why did he ever think this position was a good idea? And it's not that Harry doesn't care. He does. That's the problem. Oh, care to elaborate?
I'm seeing someone. Or, at least, I was.
Oh! Harry's throat tightens. This is unexpected. This is... He's not sure what this is. He waits for Mr. Snark to continue.
But he doesn't know who I am. And I think if he did, he wouldn't be interested. In fact, that's probably an understatement.
A flurry of questions swirls through Harry's head. Who are you? He? Who is he? And why not? Mustering up his most casual, disinterested tone, he decides to focus on the last one. Why are you so sure he wouldn't be interested?
My past, is the simple response.
Everyone has a past, Harry muses.
Again with the platitudes,
the voice says sharply.
This is bigger than platitudes.
I'm sorry, I'm really not very good at this, Harry offers feebly. But really, you don't think this person, you don't think he could get over it? If you're good together, if he's interested? You said things were going well. There he goes, saying all the wrong things again. The shadow shakes his head.
I don't think it will surprise you to know that my family was on the wrong side of the war. And as far as anyone knows, I haven't made any reparations to suggest otherwise.
As far as anyone knows? Harry turns the phrase over and over. But you have?
I have what?
Made reparations. Just not publicly?
Is that a statement or a question?
Harry nearly pounds the desk in frustration, but puffs out a breath of air. A question, I suppose. You made it sound as if you are sorry and have made amends, but nobody knows about it.
That's more or less true.
Maybe you should, I don't know, tell him?
It's a bit more complicated. It's not just that. We didn't exactly get on in school.
So? It's a bit rich coming from him, but this man doesn't know that. Now you do.
I really don't think...
Do you want help with this or not? He's losing focus here, but he's also out of fucks to give. It's as if an invisible force is pushing Harry to push Mr. Snark. There is something here that needs to be confessed, hashed out, examined. He doesn't know what it is, but it hangs the air. He wants to help this man, and this is the only way he knows how. This time the pause stretches out so long that if it weren't for the silhouette, Harry would be sure he ducked out again. Then, out of nowhere, Mr. Snark tilts his head and speaks.
Are you familiar with the Death Eater trials?
Harry inhales his tea. It catches, tickling and suffocating, definitely down the wrong tube. He represses it with what feels like every ounce of strength he owns. He gives his head an exaggerated shake, his eyes watering, coughing forcefully. Not really, he lies. A lot of people were on the wrong side of the war without having taken the mark. But an actual Death Eater is something else. He's been avoiding thinking about the trials and his own testimonies there for more than a year. The voice continues flatly.
My father was sentenced to death, and my mother and I were put on house arrest for 6 months. We were sentenced on July 12th of last year. He was there.
We were sentenced? We? That doesn't leave a lot of options for a mystery identity anymore. There was only one case of an entire family on trial. Father, mother, son. Just one case. The fireplace swims in front of his eyes. It can't be. It can't fucking be.
That's when I...
tried to kill yourself, Harry finishes, his voice hollow in his own ears. It's been Malfoy this whole time?
Not quite. That was the day before.
The distorted Malfoy voice rushes to add.
I wasn't afraid of being sentenced. It was the shame of it, knowing they all hated me. I hated myself. I didn't want to be part of a spectacle, even if I deserved to be.
I don't hate you, Harry thinks. I didn't. He'd pitied him at the very least. Malfoy's face at the trial had been almost unrecognizable. Drawn, haggard, nearly translucent. Anyone could see he was just a kid. Just like the rest of them. Anyone who was really looking anyway.
But there you have it. Former Death Eater, suicidal good-for-nothing, at your service.
The head bows. Harry opens and closes his mouth, but no words emerge. He has to say something. Malfoy has no idea. He would explode if he did. Not that Harry knows. The voice sounds stranger, because it doesn't sound like Malfoy. But at the same time, it does. And the silhouette bears a close enough resemblance to the man he briefly saw at the Burrow. And this is Mr. Snark. Mr. Snark is Draco Malfoy. He tried to flirt with Draco Malfoy? Well, surely the urge will pass now that he knows what's what. Surely.
Are you still there?
Panic creeps into the voice, into Malfoy's voice.
I was told everything I say is completely confidential. If you breathe a word of this, whoever you are.
Fuck. Yes, Harry answers weakly. Yes, it's completely confidential.
So you see, it's quite a bit more complicated. I mean, fuck. It's obvious it matters to you, and we're strangers.
Strangers, Harry repeats, dazed. They've been a lot of things, but never that. Malfoy is seeing someone? A man at that. And the man doesn't know who he is? What kind of idiot is this man that he doesn't know who he's dating?
I've been using a glamour, Malfoy answers. Though I won't stop you from calling a spade,
he sighs. Harry didn't realize he asked the last question out loud. That's a lot of trouble to go through for a date. He's still thinking out loud. This can't be good. He clears his throat. I mean, I've had to use one myself from time to time. It's exhausting. I hate it.
It's not just for dating, idiot. It's for living in a post-Voldemort world when you've been branded for life. Not ideal, but necessary. Or I used to think so. Until recently. I've become rather accustomed to it. Sometimes I almost forget who I am. It's a relief to speak with people, work with them, help them without everything I've done hanging over my head. Cowardly, I'll grant you, but there it is.
Maybe not, Harry says, more to himself. He knows what it's like to want to be anonymous. He knows about wanting to help people without saviorhood getting in his way. It's why this job appealed to him. And his own dating woes are solid proof that being Harry Potter complicates things in a way not so different from how being Draco Malfoy might. Ad-Rock seemed perfectly happy to be with Harry until he knew who he was. If Harry hadn't said anything, how far might it have gone? Maybe you're just allowing people to get to know you without them thinking they already do. Malfoy pauses to consider it.
Stop it now. That almost made sense.
Harry laughs and his stomach turns. Uh-oh. It's still there. He knows it's Malfoy, but the feeling, whatever the fuck it is still there. He'll have to ask Neville to reassign him as soon as this conversation is over. At least, he thinks he will. He has to, right? Look, sir, he stammers, formality unfamiliar in his mouth. I'm not the best person to advise you on this. I have my own relationship issues. But if it's any consolation, I think we've all, you know, done things. It's no good. It's no good at all. He can't pretend this is nothing. That it's no one.
I don't know why I told you this,
Malfoy sighs, sounding guarded again.
It's not as if it's a matter of life and death.
Merlin, I hope not. That's the other thing. Fuck, it's the main thing. Malfoy tried to... The image of a lifeless Draco Malfoy being pulled from the river enters unbidden in his mind, making his head spin and his gut clench. No. Are you going to be okay? You aren't going to...
No,
Malfoy sighs.
Not as impetuous as I once was.
His voice sounds strangely wistful.
Too many consequences to consider now.
Harry wants to believe him, but he's not sure he does. He'll say anything to prevent that from happening again. He'll do anything. He won't dwell on why he feels so strongly about it. He just does. It's not just the savior thing. It's the Malfoy thing. Malfoy can't die. He just can't. Especially not over a guilty conscience stemming from what his father and the rest of the batshit crazy dark wizards forced him to do.
Anyway,
he says offhand,
Adrock's got too many adoring fans now. He can't just...
Adrock? Harry snaps, confused. Your boss? How would he fit into this? Malfoy.
My... Fuck. You know Adrock? What makes you think he's my boss?
No, I mean... Shit. He's not supposed to know, of course. He only knows because he saw Malfoy at Ginny's. He hasn't even let on that he knows it's Malfoy speaking to him. Though he didn't make it difficult to guess. Almost like he wanted to be found out, really. I don't know, he casts about for an explanation. It just sounded that way from how you mentioned him.
Forget I mentioned him.
He sounds almost possessive. Could that be it? Is he the one you're dating? Harry asks before he can stop himself. That would make sense of a few things. Or would it? Malfoy laughs openly, almost manically.
You really don't know what you're doing, do you?
No, he doesn't.
Fuck me. This is insane.
And like that, he's gone.
Neville is sludging over his desk and rifling through rolls of parchment when Harry knocks on the doorframe. Hey, Nev.
Harry, Neville grins. How goes it?
Oh, well, you know, it goes. Harry hugs himself distractedly and notices that Neville is wearing at least 3 sweaters. It's still bloody freezing. Actually, I need to talk to you about K711. Okay, Neville frowns and motions for Harry to close the door. Do you think he's in danger? He seemed quite stable the last time I talked with him.
Yes, well, that was before you gave him to me, wasn't it? Harry thinks. But instead he says, I think he's all right, everything considered, but I don't think I should be the one to help him anymore.
And why is that? Neville asks. Might as well be candid about it. I think I figured out who it is. Harry waits for Neville to ask him who or how, but Neville just raises his eyebrows and his mouth turns into a regretful half-smile. It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
What? You know?
Pretty sure, yeah. Poor sod.
What?
This is too much. He's still waiting for the punchline.
But he was the worst to you, he hisses. We are talking about
No names, please, Neville interrupts sternly. But yes, I think we are on the same page. He was a complete bastard to me, yes. But I think we can agree he's sorry, and to be honest, I wouldn't trade places with him. Not at any point in our lives. Would you?
Harry stops to consider. Funny. He's never thought of it that way before.
No, he says, but it feels like giving something up. He forgave Malfoy a long time ago, but he's only realizing it now. It's been easier to believe he hasn't, easier to not think about it at all. So now you know, though please note that I will not confirm it, ever. Is that why you don't want to help him? You don't think he deserves it? Neville eyes him with something like concern, which is precious, really.
That's not it, Harry says quickly. That's not...
It's just awkward, you know? And I think he'd probably kill me if he found out. So that would be inconvenient. Airtight argument, that. It's not outside the realm of possibility, Neville admits, and blows a couple short breaths into his hands. I mean, I get the awkwardness thing, and you two always did have a weird vibe. Oh, good grief, not that again. We had a totally normal vibe, Harry groans to the ceiling. You know, for enemies, he adds, looking to Neville for validation. Neville shrugs noncommittally, infuriatingly. Sure. Yeah. Neville straightens up, collects the papers in front of him. Okay, I can take them off your hands if that's what you really want. It is, right? Harry hesitates, thinks better of it, then nods. Yes, I think that would be best. All right, done. That easy. Harry shuffles his feet and rubs his elbows before taking on the next thing, because he might as well get it over with. Also, I'd like to set you up with Ginny, if that's okay? Neville's smile has never been wild. Ginny? He quirks an eyebrow. Yeah, don't worry, it's completely fine with me. I was thinking, Friday, if that works for you? And her, I have to check with her. Yep, still terrible at this, even when it's not about him. This Friday won't work. I already have a date, Neville says casually. Really? Harry shouldn't be surprised, but he is. With who? Ginny. She asked me out last week. Neville goes to open the door for Harry. But thanks anyway. Of fucking course.